Total Tuscany Podcast, episode 55. Ciao, and welcome to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, co-publisher, co-writer, co-conspirator, should we say, of the Total Tuscany Podcast at TotalTuscany.com, joined once again by my partner in crime, Mr. Pat Campagna. He's got the Italian name, so this is his brainchild. Morning, Pat.
Good morning, Trav.
How you doing?
Great to be back in the hot seat here.
It is. It's been a while since we've been in the hot seat, and since the last time we were in the studio recording, a lot of stuff has happened with Total Tuscany. And first of all, we had a great trip with a great group in last October, which seems like yesterday to you and me. But what a successful an inspiring trip I think we had, and I think everybody that was on that trip had.
Funny you say that, because it was really interesting watching the progression of expectations people had on that trip. That was one of the most interesting parts for us.
Yeah, and if you're thinking about going to Tuscany or want to go to Tuscany or how you take those first trips to Tuscany, that's where the Total Tuscany experience come in. And just we're going to talk about the trip we took in October, but I do want to remind everybody that the next Total Tuscany experience is coming up September 29th through October 6th. 2018. We have limited space available. There is still space, but it is very limited. So if you or a partner or a friend want to go to Tuscany and they want to experience what we experience on a regular basis, just go to TotalTuscany.com and reach out to us. Info, that's I-N-F-O, at TotalTuscany.com. But we were able to host a group that was new to Tuscany. Their expectations were they didn't have any. That's what was great. They were like, you know what, show us what you know, and we'll go out and have as much fun as we can. And I think everybody really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's like going to a movie you know nothing about, and then being pleasantly surprised. These couples were obviously they had a great time, but it was so cool watching every day wake up and have new understanding and appreciation for where they were and what they were seeing.
Yeah, and we got to visit great places, of course, Florence, Montepulciano. We actually went to Assisi. One group went to Pisa for a day. So they really got the entire Tuscan experience, and that's what we want you to explore. But as we sit here and record today, we're going to put maybe a little small summer series together. And, you know, I have my things that I like about Tuscany. Pat has his things like what he likes about Tuscany. And that's why we thought it would be fun just to sit down and whether we end up talking for a half hour or 15 minutes, talk about we're going to start this week with what's Pat's five favorite things about Tuscany. And because the reason he goes, the reason I go, the reason I fell in love are completely different than what Pat's are, but we find that common bond. So, Pat, I'm going to let you have this week, and this whole podcast is going to be focused on the five things you like the best about Tuscany. And we'll comment after each one, and I'll chime in, but I'll let you hold the court and give us your five favorite things about Tuscany.
Yeah, well, and that list changes a little bit. As we go back, I think it matures a little bit. Maybe I think probably the first thing I love most about Tuscany is what most people think about when they go is the food and the wine. Right? You can't think about traveling to Italy and not have some expectations about that. Especially as Americans.
And it's funny that you say that about food and wine, because what's very unique, and I think you try to explain it to somebody, but the food changes with the seasons. It's like, you know, here we can get a burger whenever we want, right? I mean, you can go to a restaurant and it's pretty much the same. Well, when you're in a hilltop town or if you're even in Florence, whatever is kind of in season are what the main dishes kind of center around. That's what's fun about the food to me is that if you go in the spring, you're going to get a different taste than what's in the summer. If you go in the fall, you're going to get a different taste than what's in the winter and the spring. And it's fun to just watch what's in season become the delicacy, should we say.
Absolutely. It's like when we were growing up, when you went to the grocery store here in the States, you didn't have all of the same fresh fruits and vegetables year-round because we were waiting for seasonal items. And it's still that way in Italy. It's they serve you what's fresh. They serve you in what's in season. And there are places that would cater to tourists and maybe go a little beyond what's in season.
Yeah.
But we try to stick with the more genuine, honest approach. And I like to tell people, you know, your expectations of food in Italy, what you think of as Italian food, is probably not what you're going to experience over there. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And especially, and even in region to region. I mean, you go to Rome, you're going to get a much different meal than probably going to get in Florence or on the countryside. You go down to Napoli, you're going to get a much different flavor of what that food is. That's what, and I think that's what makes Tuscany so great, is that the food that I've had in other regions of Italy don't match what we've had in Tuscany. Because the flavors just burst out. As soon as you take that first bite, you're like, oh, I got to have another. Then you try a different dish, like, oh. And I remember we were in Vinci, yes, the home of Leonardo da Vinci. We went to a restaurant, very simple, and I just remember thinking, nothing's going to beat this. And you go to a different restaurant the next night, and you're like, oh, nothing's going to beat this. And so you're always improving your meals, it seems like, because there's a different twist on it, there's a different take on it, there's a different... just the way the chefs and the cooks make everything pretty unique. That's what I like.
Yeah, and pizza. You know, pizza in Italy is fabulous. It's not what you experience in the States.
No.
Even when the States tell you Italian, Neapolitan-style pizza, Tuscan stuff, it's not the same. Maybe somebody would like an American-style pizza more, but... I think I tell people it's very different and it's amazing. And it's very different than anything you've experienced.
Well, here's what's cool about food. And whether you watch the Food Network or listen to this podcast, you really get a sense of how food unites people, and it's almost makes you family. I mean, it really, when you sit down at the table, it unites. And that's what happened to us on the Total Tuscany Experience, is that we would, as a group, sit down and have dinner every single night together. And you realized how special that was, whether we were in a restaurant, whether we were doing a cooking class in the villa. But you sit down at the table every single night, and that meal united everybody there. Whether you knew them or you were with friends, it just created a different experience. And food really does bring people together.
Exactly. It's we purposefully style our trips so that our customers, our clients, are free during their lunch to go wherever they want without us.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's lots of reasons for that, but we always come back together at night. And they don't have to, but everybody has always wanted to come back and have a meal together.
Yeah, and you mentioned the food, and that really kind of transitioned to wine, because in Tuscany, it wouldn't be a meal if you didn't have the wine.
Right, right. And that's an interesting evolution, as on that trip, how each... family, each couple, wine becomes maybe more important.
Yeah.
Every night, sampling something that somebody bought in a hilltop town or brought back and shared with the group. It's really it's an interesting experience.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, and I should know our own itinerary off the top of our head, but I don't. But I'm thinking there might have been a wine tasting every day. Was there? Or I mean, we drank wine every day, but I know 3 of the 7 days for sure we had a wine tasting, but. And we, of course, we went to Montepulciano, we went to Chianti, we were also outside of Florence, not in the Chianti region, but it was just north of Vinci where the villa was, that first day we had a wine tasting of just an organic farm, organic vineyard, and we got such a different array and aromas and tastes, and the wine is superb, and it's... Even over just the Tuscan region, the different flavors you experience are truly amazing.
The different varieties of the combinations with Sangiovese and grapes, and yep. and the explanations our clients have had from each vineyard owner, I've noticed that they're very different. They rely on different aspects of the process and explain, and it really makes you appreciate what you're drinking.
All right, so food and wine was number one. What's number two on your top 5 things to do in Tuscany?
Number two for me has to be the pace of life. And that's something that may not necessarily occur to someone before they go. Not that Italy's fast isn't fast paced in some respects. Driving is crazy. Driving is fast, but I can't say how many people I've run into. Once they get off that motorcycle or they're out of their car, it's a focus on living life.
You know, the first time we went, and we've been back several times since, in 2009. Can you believe it's coming up on 10 years already? That's amazing to
me. Hard to believe.
But it really hit me. And we even noticed it when we get back here as we run TotalTuscany.com. We put these trips together. Even trying to get in the studio, what happens is your American way of life takes over and you're like, oh my goodness, where's time gone? It is amazing. Even if you're in Tuscany for a week, 2 weeks, or a month, it doesn't take you long to realize that everything just slows down. There's no reason to be in a hurry. You can have your phone there. You can turn your dad on. But even if you have internet and Wi-Fi, you don't find yourself using it as much. And I think you notice, and that's what we really try to tailor out on the Total Tuscany experience when we take you out to a villa, is to just sit back, relax. Now, do we take you places and are you on the go sometimes? Yeah, but you don't really notice it. You know, I mean, you're like, oh man, I'm in Siena today. I get to walk around the Piazza del Campo, and that stuff you don't get to do on a regular basis. But you're right, that pace, you just don't feel hurried. You don't feel rushed.
And it sounds like a cliche, doesn't it?
It really does. It's like, oh, you're just saying that. No, we're really not.
It really happens. The last thing I can imagine doing is grabbing for the phone and surfing the web when we're in a hilltop town in Tuscany. There would be no reason why you would care to look at the phone.
No, not at all. So yeah, and that really is what drawn me to that. That's one of the biggest things that draws me to Tuscany, because people, one of the big questions we get asked all the time is, why do you keep going back? You know, wouldn't you want to see other parts of the world? Well, sure we want to see other parts of the world, but there are some places that just draw you in. Like, you feel a kindred spirit with. It's like, okay, let's go to Barcelona. No, I think I'm going to go back to Florence. You know, and it's just, there's something that just draws you there and keeps calling you back and calling you back. I remember the first time we went in 2009, we had all this luggage, right? And we heard some wisdom, like, just pack like you're going for a week, because Italy calls you back and you'll get to know it. And now every time I travel, I just take a carry-on. I don't even check a bag. So it just feels like that much to home to me, should we say.
Those first pictures, the mountain of luggage that we hauled with our kids, those are pretty funny pictures.
They really are. So number three on Patrick's list.
This is one that kind of hits me as the history of the place.
Okay. You're the history of us.
I love history. And it's not like that first time where I felt like I had to hit certain in advance.
Yeah.
I had to hit certain spaces and knock those off my bucket list. I learned that from you. We're going to go back. And that's not it anymore. And it's not about going 2 hours away from the villa. You don't necessarily have to go far. History is everywhere. You can't go to a town and not be amongst buildings and paintings that are, you know, 2,000, 5,000 years old. You can go to the Etruscan ruins, and they're much older. And so it's everywhere. It's pervasive. And there's really an appreciation, I feel, from the people living there, that it's something to be fostered and paid attention to.
You know, the interesting part that you say about that is that and not only is it historic, but you find when you go to Tuscany, and we've been a lot. I know I've lost count of how many times we've been there already, but I still haven't seen everything. You know, there's still more to see. You still discover something every time that you go back. And if you can go back every time, that's great. If you can't, that's why the Total Tuscany experience is the ideal, because we try to hit the stuff that, well, not just tourists want to see, but we actually try to take you off the touristry trap. But we just show you things that to get you excited about Italy and to go, man, that's what Tuscany was before I was even thinking there. But you're right. And if you walk the streets of Florence, you can, every time you go back, walk into a different church, walk into a different piazza and find something different and learn something about what took place there in the 1400s.
Exactly.
It's amazing.
And we have to talk a little bit about our relationships with, for example, Molly and Florence. We have some of the best tour guides around that we rely on because here in the States, if we're driving by something that's interesting, we might pull up our phone and Google what that is.
It's like, okay, Google, what is this?
That's not something you're going to do in Florence. First of all, there's too many things to Google, right?
Yeah.
But it's just everywhere. And you really need to have somebody who can explain to you what the significance of something is and then move on and enjoy, because you can't, you would spend your entire day doing that.
The Total Tuscany Experience coming up September 29th through October 6th, 2018. If you are interested in joining us, there is limited space available. Please go to info, that's email us at info@totaltuscany.com, and we'll reach out to you and talk to you about the itinerary and the trip in a much detailed manner. But as we continue, we are now on number 4 of Pat's top 5 things he likes about Tuscany. Not likes, loves about Tuscany.
Number 4, Travis, for me is the people. Everybody that we come across is warm. They enjoy talking. They enjoy visiting, sharing. Because conversation, I guess it comes down to the fact that in Italy, conversation, whether you're young or old, is still important. And it's not a touristy thing. I don't get the sense that people want to visit with us and our clients because we're tourists. It's just that they enjoy talking. They enjoy the conversation.
Yeah, they really do. And whether it's in a shop in Florence or a market in Panzano or in the Piazza del Campo in Siena, people want to talk. They want to celebrate. And there is something unique. And there always seems to be a smile. And I'm going to give... this isn't in my top 5 that I'm going to do later on, but, and you know me, I've started taking pictures of elderly people. I love old people, mm-hmm. and because they walk everywhere, they have this young glow about them. You know they're in their 70s or 80s, but they still get around great because they walk so much. They have this look of health about them, experience and health, and it's really radiant, should we say, and just gets me enthused.
Well, And it's very common to see older people walking together.
Yeah, yep.
Older than you would expect to see enjoying life like this in the States. Walking together or sitting on a set of stairs in Cortona or in a little nook and cranny in San Gimignano talking with each other.
Well, one of my favorite parts of the 2018 or 17, I'm trying to think what year it is. When we were there in October, that was October 17. Dan, one of our guests, who him and his wife Rita just had an amazing time. They love the food, they love the wine. But I remember Dan sitting on the steps by the clock tower, by the bell tower, clock tower in Cortona, and he started up a conversation. And I have pictures of this, and I'll probably even share it on this blog post. He struck up a conversation with these old men. And I'm like, I just sat back and watched. I didn't even jump in to participate. And they were talking life. They were talking politics. They were talking about where you're from. And I think that conversation went on for like 45 minutes. They didn't know Dan. Dan didn't know them. But it was just this openness to just sit back, talk, find common ground, find, you know, passions of what motivates you. And they were fascinated by the American, and he was fascinated by the Italians. And it was just one of those moments in the trip that I will never, ever forget. Because if he would have never committed to come on the Total Tuscany Experience, he would have never experienced that. And that's why we call it an experience and not a trip, because anybody can take a trip, right? I mean, really, anybody can go get on a plane, go somewhere. It's the experiences you have when you're on that trip that really make it what it is.
Because we're not tour guides.
No, we're not. We don't claim to be.
Poor excuses for tour guides. What we do is... we get you into a place and we put you in a position where you're going to experience life without it being filtered through us.
Yes.
Right.
And I think what we do, with Anna, our driver, with Molly, the tour guide we use in Florence, the vineyards that we go to, the connections we've made over our time, we introduce you to those people who then share their experience and their knowledge. What we do is we take the planning out of it for you. I mean, we make sure you get to where you need to be going. We make sure you have a wonderful villa to sleep in. We make sure your meals are taken care of. We want to take that all off your table and so you can sit back, relax, and enjoy everything around you without worrying about anything.
And we have to admit, part of this is easy because Italians live life outside.
Yep. They do.
They're all outside at the piazza. They're all outside in the evening sharing stories. And so we're putting you in a place where we know they're going to be.
Yeah.
You're interacting with the culture.
Yeah, but you mentioned just the people and that story with Dan in Cortona. It's a picture I look at it on a regular basis because that really, for me, was one of the highlights of the last trip that we took. And because he would have never experienced that without going on this trip. And that was really cool.
Very cool.
What's number five?
Number five is my appreciation. This is just personal.
Okay.
But when I travel, I like to. We don't buy a lot of souvenirs, my wife and I. That's not something we do.
I think we did that our first time. We were like, buy it. Now, I don't think I bought anything this last time I was there.
Maybe some art.
Yeah. But that was about it. No, we bought wine. We actually had wine shipped over this time. Usually we bring it back in the suitcase, which you can do. But once you have a bottle break in a suitcase, you're like, I'm just going
to
ship it.
It's just easier to let us take care of that shipping for you. But number five on my list is the fact that stuff is still made there locally. So if you have an interest in buying something, a leather good in Florence or some fabrics or some cutlery, it doesn't really matter what it is that is important to you, if anything, but there's still pride in craftsmanship, and it's still made locally. I remember this last time we took our group in Florence to the shop of a very famous, I'm not going to mention names, but a very famous artisan who makes metal goods, right, for some of the most famous design houses in the world in Paris and New York.
And the cool thing about that is we were able to take our guests down into a shop because we had access because of Molly, who is your Florence tour guide with us, and she knows the right people. It's all about knowing people, right?
That's right.
But now we're not going to sit here and say you can't find stuff that's not made or made in China or Taiwan in the market because it exists. But when you go on the Total Tuscany Experience, we tell you and we have people show you where the good stuff is, where the locally made stuff is. And that's so important that, you know, you're getting something original that comes out of Florence. Because that's what you expect when you go to Italy. You want something that's genuine and real. And you get it. What's not only that is it made there, Pat, but you mentioned the artisan, the jeweler that we went to. You, 9 times out of 10, you get to meet the people who make it.
Right.
That's Volterra is a perfect example. Volterra was one of the stops on our last Total Tuscany Experience. You go into the alabaster shops, and they're carving that soft stone and making some wonderful sculptures out of alabaster, which, you know, now is probably the time to purchase some alabaster because it's becoming a lost art. You're not seeing a lot of young Italians who live in that region step up and want to be alabaster artisans. You don't see the apprenticeships. You hope that somebody starts to catch on, but there's a perfect example. You walk into these wonderful places and they're carving and you get to see it and you can purchase that piece of art right there. That's the genuineness of it. That's what's so awesome.
And it's wherever it's every place we take you.
Yep.
When you're handing your money over to someone for something you're going to bring home, you're oftentimes giving it to the person who made that for you.
What's really cool is that, and we talk about art, and I'm going to bring it back to something else you were talking about, and that's wine, because wine is art to a lot of people as well. So when we take you to a vineyard, you're talking to that owner of the vineyard who takes just such great pride in the grapes that come out of their land and what they're able to make that into. And you get to everywhere. Concerto di Castellina is a perfect example of that. And we've stayed on that property. Our guest went to that property in October. Mary Shea, who is the marketing director there, actually has married into the family. She's going to join us in the next couple of weeks to talk about what they're doing there now and kind of some of the things that have changed. But, you know, we talk about art and things made there. Wine is a perfect example because they take such great pride in those grapes.
And they pay. It's not like they want to sell you something.
No.
If it's not perfect. They're not just paying attention to acidity and marketing because the siestas are still very much in place. You're not going to buy anything between 1 and 4 p.m. And if they're open, they're not going to sell you something that they wouldn't give to their own family.
And not only that, we do a lot of wine tastings, and your wine tastings are covered on the Total Tusty Experience. And the great thing is, if you don't want to buy a bottle of any, it's not a high pressure sales. They're just so happy to show you what they do, how they make it, and what makes them unique. And that's what's great. I never once felt a high pressure sale unless I was in the market in Florence looking for a leather jacket that probably wasn't made there. I mean, that's the highest sales pitch I've received on any of my trips. But that's the nature of what that market is. But yeah, just the originality and what you're going to get that is so genuine. And that's what makes the Total Tuscany Experience so unique, is that we plan down to the easiest detail. Your dinners are covered, your wine tastings are covered, your driver is covered, your villa is covered. We pick you up at the airport. We go straight to a lunch and a wine tasting. And it really sets the tone of what is a unique experience, because it's not a trip. It is an experience.
And we're very much aware that as much as we plan,
as much as
we put people in a position to have that experience, we also don't want you to feel suffocated. And so we give you opportunities for lots of freedom. So you're on your own for part of the day, not by happenstance. We put you there on purpose.
Yeah, it is a place where you can just take Tuscany in and enjoy it. So for more information, go to TotalTuscany.com. If you are interested in joining us starting September 29th through October 6th, 2018, reach out to Pat and myself at info@TotalTuscany.com. Also, say you want to go to Tuscany, but you don't want to do the Total Tuscany Experience. We understand that, but you still want some help. You're like, okay, what do I do? I'm going to go, but I don't know what to do. Reach out to us. Pat and I are more than happy to consult on an hourly basis or just a trip basis. And for a minimal fee, we can give you our experience, and it really puts you in contact with some of the most amazing experts that will make sure that you have a trip of a lifetime, whether you join us or go on your own. Because once in your life, twice in your life, 10 times in your life, you can never experience too much Tuscany, that's for sure. Well, Pat, it's good to be back in the studio.
Great to be here, Travis. Let's keep this going.
TotalTuscany.com is the website. Join us on our Total Tuscany Experience, September 29th through October 6th, 2018. For more information, email us, info@TotalTuscany.com. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. We'll talk to you next time on the Total Tuscany Podcast.